I'm Noel King from NPR's Planet Money, sitting in for John Hockenberry on The Takeaway today. Across the country, high school seniors are preparing to put on their caps and gowns and march into the future. Some of you probably have one of these anxious and ambitious young people in your own family. And now here's some good news. High school graduation rates in this country have hit record highs. In 2015, 83% of U.S. students graduated from high school, which sounds great. But is it really? There is, some teachers argue, a big difference between passing subjects and being proficient in them. Proficiency refers to a student's skill level or mastery of knowledge, and there's no national standard that evaluates proficiency, which means two young people can graduate from high school but have very, very different levels of competence in a particular subject. Rob Barnett is a public school teacher in the Washington, D.C. school district, and he thinks we are putting way too much emphasis on graduation rates. Rob, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure. I'm happy to be here, Noel.
All right. You say that this country is in the middle of an epidemic of passing. What do you mean?
What I mean by that is that there's a big gap in this country between the number of students who are graduating from high school and the number of students who have shown, through at least through test scores, that they really understand the things that we want them to understand from high school. I think in my own district and in other places in the country, the default for students has been to pass them along year after year and have them march up to graduation without really stopping to check, have they learned the things that we want them to learn. What everyone wants in the education system is for students to be successful and feel successful. And there's a lot of people working really hard towards that goal, but it can be very challenging at the end of a school year when a student has learned some of the content, but not all of the content. It's challenging to determine should that student be, quote unquote, held back and made to repeat the content, or should the student move forward maybe with some gaps in understanding. I think, at least in the District of Columbia, we have a standard that we want students to meet, but they don't meet it, and we don't ask them to go back and meet it. We just send them along.
You have written a lot about this, and you use an example that I think is particularly powerful. You have a student whom you call Robert, and you say, look, Robert is a very sweet kid. He tries hard when he's in class, but he has a lot going on outside of class. His mom is struggling. He's responsible for his little sister, and so he is not getting the material. And as a teacher, that leaves you with the decision, do I punish this very well-meaning kid who has a lot of external factors contributing to his inability to maybe grasp or be proficient in what I'm teaching?
Yeah, it happens all the time. He might miss a couple weeks at a time, and so he misses something that I as a teacher and we as a school system want him to learn, but then he'll come back, and when he's in class, he's a great kid. At the end of the year, it's hard to tell him you need to stay back and repeat. But it's also hard to send him along when he has missed what may be essential bits of knowledge or skills.
Rob, what do you teach?
I teach math and computer science.
Okay, so subjects where proficiency is clearly very important.
Absolutely, yeah. I see great kids in the 12th grade, and sometimes they don't know how to do basic division. And I think it's because they've been passed along so many times. Not only have they missed certain skills, but they've also developed the mindset that math is something that's beyond their comprehension. It's hard for them to understand. You can't really understand 12th grade math if you haven't understood the subjects and skills leading up to it.
Is there a conversation at all in your school? You're a 12th grade math teacher. You've got kids being kicked up who are not proficient. Do you ever go to the 11th grade teachers, the 10th grade teachers, the 9th grade teachers and say, please stop sending these kids up if they're not ready?
Sure. We say that all the time, but the 9th grade teachers would say that to the 8th grade teachers and the 7th grade teachers and the 6th grade teachers. And something I've struggled to figure out is that we have some fantastic teachers at my school who work extremely hard and are extremely good at what they do, but we are all trying simultaneously to teach the content of our grade level and fill in gaps that have developed over the years, and it feels impossible sometimes.
Do you have any students this year that you've had to fail?
I do, yes. And it is a really hard decision to make when a student wants to walk across the stage with his or her class. But, you know, my job is to teach students math and teach them skills about being a student and being accountable, being responsible. And when a student doesn't meet those bars, sometimes I do have to tell a student, not yet.
Give me a sense of the emotion that goes into making that decision, both on your part and some of the things that you've heard from students who, I'm sure, as seniors, just want to get out.
Yeah, that is often the overwhelming desire of seniors and of families and also of school districts is to get students out. What I try to tell students is we're not just looking to push you across the stage when you turn 18. We're looking to teach you things because we believe they're important and we believe they will help you to achieve what it is that you want to achieve in your life. But it's a really hard emotional conversation, and it was one that I wish I didn't have to have.
What do you think would be a good fix for all of this? I mean, this is an entrenched and obviously widespread problem that you're talking about here.
Yeah, it is absolutely entrenched, and I think it is almost inherent in the design of our school system, in which students will take a course for an entire year. They will inevitably learn some things and miss other things, and then they face this binary choice between advancing to the next grade level or staying back. And for a student like Robert, neither of those is a good choice. What I think we should do is reorient our school system so that instead of grouping students and moving students based on their age, we group students and move students based on their knowledge, understanding, or what I call mastery. So for a student like Robert, he would work on one set of math topics, and once he has shown that he's mastered those, he would move on to the next. He could do that as fast as he like if he picks things up quickly, or he could do that as slowly as he likes if he has challenges going on at home or other aspects of his life. But what's key is that he will actually learn the things that we want him to learn.
So tailoring more to the individual student.
Absolutely. And this is something that previously would have been impossible to do. I'm a teacher that has sometimes 25 or 30 students in a room. So how can I teach to 25 or 30 individual paces? But with technology and video instruction and online learning, it's actually much easier for students to move at their own paces and learn in more individualized ways.
Rob Barnett is a public school teacher in the Washington, D.C. school district. Rob, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.